Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Kathy Kay, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Friday, February 22nd, 2019, and we are reading from the Big Book on page 10, the third paragraph down, which begins, "I had always believed in a power greater than myself." Today's readers are AJN reading the 12 steps, Betsy H reading the 12 traditions, and reading the text are Jackie H, Julie E.B., and Jordan L. The reference numbers for yesterday, Thursday, February 21st, 10 a.m. meeting is 12,579. Or 12579, and the reference number for this morning, 7 a.m. meeting, February 22nd, is 12582, or 12582, and our newcomer greeter today is Leslie M. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask AJN to read the 12 steps of OA.
Good morning. This is AJN, recovered compulsive overeater in Ohio. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive eaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, AJ. And Betsy H., would you please read the 12 traditions of OA?
Hi, I'm Betsy H., recovered compulsive reader. The 12 traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. I pass.
Thank you, Betsy H. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, and then we stop and share what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute, and once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book on page 10, the third full paragraph, and I will ask Jackie H. to get us started. Jackie?
Good morning. Good morning, Kathy. Thank you for your service. This is Jackie H., recovered in Colorado. Very glad to be here with all of you. I had always believed in a power greater than myself. I had often pondered these things. I was not an atheist. Few people really are, for that means blind faith is a strained proposition. That this universe originated in a cipher and aimlessly rushes nowhere. My intellectual heroes, the chemists, the astronomers, even the evolutionists, suggested vast laws and forces at work. Despite contrary indications, I had little doubt that a mighty purpose and rhythm underlay all. How could there be so much of a precise and imputable law and no intelligence? I simply had to believe in the spirit of the universe, who knew neither time nor limitations, but that was as far as I had gone. And when I first walked into the rooms of 12-step 11 years ago and through the doors of another 12-step program, that is where I was, like Bill was. That is as far as I had gone. I remember as a little girl, I did believe in a power greater than myself. And I remember when I first started my bulimic behaviors and my anorexic behaviors, I would pray every night, please God help me not to do this tomorrow. I don't know who I was praying to, but I didn't get an answer, right? So a little bit of my faith was crippled there. And then I was a minister's wife for many, many years. And there was a lot of wounds from that. And then I got out of that. And so I had an experience with believing in a power greater than myself, but I had no idea what that looked like. All I knew is that no human power was going to fix this spiritual malady that I had. And so there started my journey, right? And then in July of this last year, I walked into the rooms of OA. This time, I was even more broken, or I felt more broken. I wasn't broken, but I felt more desperate for sure. And so here comes my journey again, defining what my higher power is. And believe me, it's continuing to change today. And yesterday, my own personal experience is yesterday I got a phone call in the morning that absolutely rocked my world. I haven't had anything trigger me like this since I've come into recovery, this time in OA. And I was in morbid reflection. I was in crazy, insane thinking. And I was just going down a rabbit hole. And you know what? The whole day long as I was in this, God, my higher power, had my back, had me enfolded in that love. I was led to call another fellow to do a 10th step. I was, led to call my sponsor. And as the day went on, things just kept coming to me that I wanted out of that. I knew how bad I was triggered because I wanted a cigarette. And that was one of my, I wanted the ease and comfort that came, and I wasn't going to go to food. I wasn't going to go to alcohol. But you know what? I didn't have to do the cigarette either. I got my ease and comfort from the power that God, that my power that can do for me what I cannot do for myself. And this is not undone yet. But you know what? I didn't have to eat, drink, smoke. I didn't have to go shop. I didn't have to do any of these things. I get to be in these feelings. I get to reach out to these beautiful, beautiful people in this program. And I get to hold the hand of my higher power, knowing that all things work together for good. There are no exceptions. Period. There are no exceptions. And I don't know what this is going to look like. This is all internal stuff for me. In my thinking, it's the mental twist. And I just have so much faith today. And a year ago, I would have turned to something for my ease and comfort. I would not have done this. And so I am grateful that I do have a higher power. Like I said, my higher power continues to evolve. I'm continuing to see the magnificence of God doing for me what I cannot do for myself. And then I'll wrap up. Most importantly, I get to turn around and give this away. Thank you, and I'll pass. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Jackie H. Okay, I'd like to take about six names of people who would like to share one at a time, please.
Laura W.
Laura W.
Wendy B.
Wendy B.
Jackie L.
Jackie L. And
Roz.
Roz G, is it?
Yes, but I'm sorry if I interrupted someone.
Yeah, there's someone with the last initial R. Who is that?
Becca R.
Nessa R?
Becca.
Oh, Becca. I'm sorry, Becca. Becca R. Okay, we'll take one more.
AJN.
AJN. And then who was after AJ? I'll take you to.
Reggie O.
Reggie, oh, great. Okay, we'll stop there. So we have Laura W., Wendy B., Jackie L., Roz G., Becca R., AJ N., and Reggie O. Please share with us, Laura.
Hi, Kathy. Good morning, everyone. This is Laura W. I'm a recovered compulsive eater, anorexic, and exercise bulimic in South Jersey. Yeah, when I first came into these rooms over 20 years ago, I had always believed in a power greater than myself also. I grew up in a very religious home. And however, as a kid, my higher power really was, it were my parents, I would look at them and they were the ones who made the rules there was a God out there because I went to church and I prayed to a God, but I never could connect a power greater than myself and my eating disorder. Like, they were two separate things for so many years for me. I never thought that there would be a power greater than myself that could restore me to sanity when it came to my food and my eating and my weight. And Bill says here, despite contrary indications, you know, it makes sense to him. That's what that means. It makes sense to him, but he didn't live it. And, you know, and that's what that last line means. This is as far as I'd gone. And that's how I was for years and years. You know, God was there, but I wasn't surrendering. I wasn't associating my food with my higher power. And that's where, you know, that's step two. It's just a conclusion step. You know, I can make a conclusion to, you know, to go to Paris today, but if I don't go to the airport, buy a ticket, get on the plane, and buckle my seatbelt, I'm not going anywhere. So action is where the problem was for me for so many years. And, you know, prayer is great, but prayer without action is just, you know, it's just wishing. And and so Bill needs to decide here, am I going to take that next step? Am I going to surrender my will, my life, and my actions over to a higher power? And who is God to me? This, for me, my God became a personal God, not a God that I had to look up to and be afraid of him condemning me because I made mistakes. I am beyond human aid, and I know that today. I can't get, you know, I have to give my higher power me 100% of the time every single day, or else I'm not going to get 100% recovery. So I'm grateful for this reminder today that God is, you know, God's in me. He's with me because he's in me is what I like to say. And I need to remind myself that every day. And, you know, I love the fact that few people really are an atheist because, you know, the big book tells us on page 86 through 88 that believe some, it says be quick to, oh God, I'm drawing a blank here, but be quick to see where religious people are right. You know, make use of what they have to offer is what it says. So, I'm grateful for my higher power. I'm grateful that my higher power brought me to these rooms and has restored me to sanity one day at a time. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you, Laura W. Wendy B., please share with us.
Yeah, hi. This is Wendy B., recovered in Arizona. And the words, I simply had to believe in a spirit of the universe who knew neither time nor limitation, just really jumped out at me this morning. My experience with this is when God took me back in my memory to the time when I was in an incubator, during the time when incubator babies were left untouched, and he spoke to me that he was right there with me, loving me the whole time. And I was crying to be held, you know, and he healed me in those words. He isn't limited by our concept of time. You know, I was crying out, wanting to be held, wanting love on my terms already, you know, and I was closing myself off and feeling rejected. And I lived that way, you know, for many, many years. But he took me back to that time, you know, to the root of my problem, and he spoke words of love and acceptance that changed my life. He knew, he knows each of us intimately. You know, he's our creator, and he knows exactly what we need and when we need it. And he's promised to meet our needs, but it's always on his terms, not on ours. And each day, I'm choosing to surrender to his terms. And that's all I have. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Wendy B. Jackie L., please share with us.
Hello?
Yes, Jackie?
Yes, I'm sorry I didn't hear you. Hi, I'm Jackie L., and I'm a grateful recovered compulsive eater. And I just want to say thank you all for your service this morning. And, you know, I have to say that I'm really grateful today that, you know, that I have a solution. And I love what, you know, that Bill W. was able to see that, you know, he had, you know, went to every, he leaned up, he was trying to solve his problems basically based on what he knew. And I was the same way. I was raised in a religious house. Well, I was partially religious. And I didn't know that religion and faith and belief and all of those things were separate. And I didn't realize how I was taught to make man big and God little in my life. And I didn't realize I was taught to make food big and God little in my life and everything else go outside of me. And the thing that I'm grateful for today is the fact that I have a program that shows me and helps me to see when insanity is rearing up inside of me. And then I'm getting to that point where I want to rest on my own laurels. And when I rest on my own laurels, I victimize myself and everybody else that's in my area. So I'm like that dog that jumps in the pool of water, and when he gets out, he shakes the water off his body, and then he hits everybody that's in that area within his range. And today, I have to say that I'm grateful because my higher power loves me regardless. And that's something I didn't understand because my parents were also my higher power. I didn't realize how much I made man big and God little. I didn't realize how much the food was calling me to, you know, basically just, I don't know, get to God. But however, today I'm so grateful to this program that, you know, this is the easier, softer way. And it's either I give my life to God or I don't. It's just like being pregnant. Either I'm pregnant or I'm not. It's all or nothing. And that's what I'm learning in my program today. So thank you all for being here, and thank you for your service.
Thank you very much, Jackie L. Roz G., please share with us.
Good morning. Thank you. Thank you for calling on me. I wanted to apologize if I bowled over anybody. My heroes were probably when I was about 5 years old or younger, Jack LaLanne doing all those jumping jacks in the beginning of his show, Oprah Winfrey when she had lost all that weight, Dr. Phil when he has all those weight people on the show, the guy that did the extreme makeover weight loss, all those, anybody thin, college professors that were thin, even people in OA that were thin. What did I want to know about them? What do you eat? I didn't, and I'm not talking down myself, but I can see that I didn't ask them about their spiritual condition. And I grew up in a religious home, like a lot of the other shares. First Catholic, and then I became born-again Christian. But none of those solutions were able to solve my problem. Well, you know, on the surface, my problem was being 60 pounds or whatever overweight, and that's only because I was an over-exerciser. I probably would have gone on more. And all of the emotional garbage that lied under it. And I did not want to admit that my religion or that the scriptures or that my church attendance and all the things that I did at church were not going to solve the problem. To me, that was saying God isn't enough. But that's not true because I did not have a personal relationship with God. I had a surface relationship. I wanted everybody, I was the actor, and I wanted everybody to see me wearing, you know, the clothes and baking the casseroles and being submissive to my husband. Those were all what I, the actor, like what it says in chapter 3, we wanted the show to go on and, you know, the ballet. I was in a false person, but doing the best that I could, knowing, you know, with what I had. So I just make those observations thanking God that, you know, my heroes today are, well, I don't put people on a pedestal, but there are some people in OA that I really admire a lot. And there are some people in society who I believe are spiritual and profound people that have, that are kind and loving and caring people. Those people are my heroes today, people that give, that are altruistic. Those are the people that I admire. And my relationship with God is very good. I had to, you know, come to an understanding of who I believe God is. And that way I can trust God. And anyway, those who my heroes were. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Roz G. Let's see, Becca R., please share with us.
Hey, good morning. It's Becca R. from, recovered from Kentucky. And I was just thinking when I heard the reading about constantly wanting to go back in time. I want to go back to the belief I had in God when I was first introduced to the 12 steps. I want to go back to that time when I worked the steps with this sponsor, or I want to go back to that time right after I went to this retreat and I was doing this work and I was going to these classes, you know. And instead, just recently, I've had this awareness that just like when I came to OA the last time and came all the way in, I told my sponsor I wanted a new experience. And it was confusing for me because I had a relationship with God. I had come into a 12-step program and gotten to know God very intensely. It was just this thing I was doing with food that was hindering me. And it seemed like such a small hole to fill. But what I've found is that it was so much bigger, and it was the whole God concept had to change for me. And personally, the God that got me sober had to evolve to get me out of the food. And the relationship that I had developed coming into Alcoholics Anonymous had to evolve to meet my needs today. And my God, I can say today, is so different. And he presents himself to me through the 12th step, working with others and carrying this message. There is no better way for me to see God working in my life than picking up the phone and making those outreach calls. And inevitably, the ones that don't answer are the ones that call back right when I need to hear them. So I'm so grateful for the program this morning, and I'm grateful to still seek a new experience. And I don't want the recovery I had when I first came in. I want a new experience, and that my experience so far has shown that it just continues to get better and better. And I don't want to settle for anything. I want to continue to grow in this understanding and this relationship with my higher power. And I do that through you guys. I do that through connecting with the gods of my understanding. You know, the God in me talks to the God in you, and that's where I find my God. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you, Becca R. AJN, please share with us.
Hi, this is AJ, recovered in Ohio. And what this brings back to me is, I always had a belief in God, but I could never access that God, and I didn't know why. And I used to look at my husband and just think, oh, if I had his faith, you know, things would be okay. And this program was just so amazing because when I first came back to OA, you know, I've been in and out of OA over the years, and I would repeat the third step prayer and other prayers, but I just could never feel that connection. And when I first came back to OA this last time, I had a sponsor, not a big book sponsor, and we were going through the steps in the OA workbook, which I'm not saying anything bad about that. A lot of people, that really works for them, but that didn't work for me at all. And I'd be on these conversations with my sponsor, and we'd be trying to solve my problems, and I just kept thinking to myself, this doesn't feel right. It's not about solving my problems. I'm not going to solve my problems and then have this relationship with God. I need to get this relationship with God that will solve my problems. But I just didn't know how. And when I started listening to Vision for You and, you know, reading through the big book, it just seemed to click and make so much sense. Hasn't been easy, and it's been a lot of years, and I'm still working on it. But I really got unblocked in the simple steps, you know, simple but not easy. Just it's just amazing how these steps work, and I'm so grateful. And I'm a Christian, so I always read the Bible, and, you know, but it just, even though it would make sense, I just didn't know how to live out the principles in the Bible. But the big book actually helped me do that. So I always say that the big book is my Bible for dummies, and that the steps were just, you know, it was the missing puzzle piece in my relationship with a higher power. And I'm really grateful for everyone and for this book. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, AJ. Okay, Reggie O, please share with us.
Hi, Kathy. Thank you. It took me a little time to get to my unmute button. Good morning, everybody. This is Reggie O, gratefully recovered from compulsive overeating today, and in Southern California, LA area. And boy, you know, what is this we're doing this one paragraph at a time is amazing to me. You know, I had always believed, I grew up, you know, in a Christian faith. My family, my parents didn't go to church, but they made sure I did, you know, and their my dad's family was pretty strong in the church going. And my God was, however, a God I was really afraid of, that was punishing, that was keeping track and looking for where I went wrong and that I could never get it right by. Now, that obviously wasn't God, but that was his, what God was to me during that period of time. And then when I would go to church when I was like in my, I don't know, elementary school or something, I would have these questions, you know, these really kind of biblical questions that I would hear in Sunday school that I didn't quite understand or didn't make sense to me, and nobody would or could answer them. So there was just, I just had a lot of questions. And the first time when I was in OA, the first time I went through the 12 steps was early on, many years ago. And we were doing this, it was like AWOL. We were doing the steps outside of the auspices of OA because that wasn't, that's just the way it was. And we got to the third step and everybody was going around. We would take the third step, came to believe that a power greater than myself could restore me. I made a decision to turn my will and my life over to the care of God, and it was getting close to me, and I thought, oh my gosh, I can't take this step. I just literally cannot take this step because the God I have, I can't imagine turning my life over to. Anyhow, long going, I recovered, in a few years after that. And I had this amazing relationship with God. When I went out, and took me many years to get back, you know, there was always an intellectual understanding that I came to understand again, that I was afraid to surrender because I was afraid that what I loved most would be taken from me. So I've had quite a journey here. And it's transformed from the time I had this, was recovered before many years ago. I had an amazing relationship with God. I trusted, I listened, even if it didn't seem to make logical sense, and it always worked out. And it's taken me a long time to get back there. And I used to see that as the golden days. If only I could, you know, return to that place. And, you know, today I realize that there's something, I mean, it's even a sweeter relationship that I'm developing with God. And just yesterday I had this release talking to my sponsor, which was amazing. And in an hour, kind of God showed up in something that was just like wild. And this morning I pulled out a book, a little book that I turned some time ago into a God book to write down situations where God just showed up. You might look at them as coincidental or this or that, but and I thought, okay, I can write that thing down yesterday. It was just kind of mind-blowing to me that what happened an hour after I had this release just came. I couldn't have constructed that, you know. And I think that's probably pretty true all the time with God. However, I have to be really cleaned out, you know. Trust God, clean house, help others, I heard a long time ago. And I need to clean out of everything that's clear myself, you know, with these steps, do the work so that I'm free. You know, I don't have this block between me and God, so I can see and experience all of the miracles and the wonders that actually I believe happen all the time, and I get to experience them when I'm available for them and take advantage. And this vision for you, listening to you all and doing this and getting to the heart of this book and truth here, as we do on a daily basis, is has been such an amazing part of that path for me. So I'm really grateful, you know, to all of you and, yeah, for God. Thanks.
Thank you, Reggio. Okay, I'm ready to take some more names. Who would like to share?
Beatrice O.
Beatrice O.
Jordan L.
Jordan L.
Jen R.
Jen R.
Kara L.
James
B. Kara L. James B. And one more.
That's BK.
That's BK. Okay, that's all we'll have time for, I believe. Okay, Beatrice O., please share with us.
Hi, this is Beatrice O., recovered from Northern California. And so I just wanted to focus on the word immutable, and that word means unchanging over time or unable to be changed. And that's pretty powerful for me because, excuse me, I grew up Pentecostal, and I grew up with the higher power. And so what I've learned over time is God's love for me never changed. I know that God is not an Indian giver. He's, for me, he's not a codependent. And his love for me has never changed. The problem I had is I grew up with a lot of hypocrites. And I didn't grow up with someone who walked the talk. You know, we went to church, we prayed, but their behavior didn't match their words. So I was confused. I was a confused child because children know. Children know when there's an elephant in the living room. We have feelings and we can see, and we get confused when we don't understand what's going on. Intellectually, we're not able. But my higher power sees all. I can't hide from him. He's the same higher power that I had as a child. And as far as I'm concerned, the big bang came when I became abstinent. That's my big bang. And the reason I know that is because I'm not shopping. I'm not chewing gum. I'm not running around keeping myself busy. I'm not having spurts of rage or feelings of indignation. That's been my big bang. And today I have a purpose-driven life. You know, and I always have. I just couldn't reach it as long as I was eating. And I know there are things that I have to do in faith and be willing and trusting in my higher power. You know, I had to put the food down and then trust God that he was going to keep me abstinent. I think that's all I wanted to say. I have a close relationship with God. And I have to hang on to his shirt tails every day. And the biggest gift that God has given this universe is free will.
It's time.
And I'll finish up, and that's why I think this world's crazy. It's because humans have free will. Anyway, with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Beatrice O. Jordan L., please share with us.
Good morning, Kathy. My name is Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado. I grew up with a higher power, too, and I believed in a power greater than myself.
But it was most definitely a power that if I behaved well, then I was deserving of love. And if I didn't behave well, if I misbehaved, then I was deserving of punishment. And I don't know. I guess I figure my little, like, child brain couldn't even handle that because it's not true, is what I have come to find, is that that's just not accurate. And so my little child brain couldn't handle it, and I decided to claim that I didn't believe in God. I think, like, by the time I was 18, I was like, I'm not going to church anymore. I'm not going to Christmas Mass or Easter Mass or any of that BS. I am on my own in this universe, you know. But there were still there was still a part of me that believed in some sort of mighty purpose and rhythm that underlay all. And the only comprehension that I had of it was when I was out in nature. I still have that comprehension. Don't get me wrong. It's gotten more comprehensive. But, like, I felt that purpose and rhythm when I climbed a mountain and I stood up at the top. Sorry, I've been crying a lot this morning. I felt it. I knew that it was there. When I stood up at the top of the ski mountain and I was ready to cruise down, like, I knew there was a power greater than myself, or more of this, a mighty purpose and rhythm that underlay all. And it was OA that brought me to that point, that place of, like, either God is all or nothing. And I didn't, keep in mind, I didn't comprehend any of this while it was going on, right? But a little over a year ago, when I went to my first OA birthday party, I'm standing on the beach with some fellows from A Vision for You, still thinking this is some kind of, like, weird cult thing. but standing there with these people who have opened their hearts and their arms to me and are have taken me in, despite me being hesitant about it. And I'm looking out at the ocean, and I comprehend that. I get that. I get the neither time nor limitation. Like, I understand it. I see it before my eyes. There's this expanse of the ocean that goes on forever. I have no idea what the end of it looks like. Absolutely no clue. And I got it, like, right at that moment. It was like, holy shit. Like, what if I have this higher power that knows neither time nor limitation and can remove this problem with food that I've had ever since I can remember? Like, what if? Just the possibility. It opened the door, man. And the rest is history. So thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Jordan L. Jen R., please share with us.
Hi, everybody. I'm Jen R., compulsive reader. And like Bill, I always believed in that a higher power existed, but I didn't have that personal, intimate relationship with a higher power. Even though I was religious and observant and did everything I was supposed to be doing, I didn't have that connected relationship, and I couldn't seem to get it until somebody asked me, "Are you angry with God?" And I was like, "Yeah, I am." And she said, "You know, you can tell God about that. God can take it." At first, I thought that was, like, blasphemous, but I actually did that. I had a knockdown, drag out with God one day, just saying everything that I was angry about, everything that was in my heart, everything I didn't think was fair, lots of tears. Nobody else was around, so I could be really honest. And after I was done, I had a different relationship with God. I felt like I had a friend I could talk to. And ever since then, I've tried to have conversations with God as I go throughout my day. Thank you, God, for this. Thank you, God, for that. Please help me with this. Please help me with that. What do you want me to do here, God? Where do you want me to be? That kind of thing. And whenever I get away from those conversations with God, it's when I start having problems with my program. I have to be doing that all the time. And it's worked well for me to follow the advice that I heard from a different, from somebody, another 12-step program. He said that if you ain't praying, you ain't staying. And if I don't do my formal prayers on my knees in the morning, I don't have that connection throughout the day. So I have to give God that formal time like I would give a friend or a family member, that focused time. And it doesn't have to be a lot of time. It can be 5 minutes. But that really sets the stage for my relationship with God for the rest of the day. And that seems to be the truth of it. If you ain't praying, you ain't staying. So thanks for letting me share. Have a good day, everybody.
Thank you, Jen R. Kara L., please share with us.
Good morning. This is Kara L. Thank you, everybody, for being a service today. I really identified with this part of the reading, especially when Bill's talking about the scientist, because I, even though I came from a religious family, we prayed about God and kind of around God, but we never talked to God. And actually what was valued in my family was intellect. And so it was the intellects. It was the one, you know, how... And an intellect, you know, oh, there was no God, or that was silly, or, you know, and I've always had that back in my mind, and you didn't speak of God in front of the intellects. And it really took me a long time to get past that. And even when I started working my vision steps again, you know, I think it took me through the first five steps to really let go of that intellect and praying to intellect and really embrace my higher power. And it was because my higher power started working in my life. And, you know, and to really, really turn everything, I mean everything, what should I have this morning for God, for breakfast, God? You know, I have this choice here that I'm taking a walk. Should I go right or left? Everything over to my higher power. And I have to practice because it's really hard for me. And I get into my own will and I start making decisions for myself. And I get, and I'm so worked up and I stop and say, wait a minute. I didn't ask for an intuitive thought. I didn't ask for an inspiration. I didn't ask for a decision. And I stop and I pray and I ask for those things. And every single time intuitive thought, inspiration, or decision comes, every time, I'm never let down. And I'm so thankful today. And I am so willing to every day do the work that it takes to keep that connection, because in my own self-will, I cannot do it alone. Thank you, everybody. I pass.
Thank you, Kara L. Okay, I believe next is Dave D. I had you down as James B., but it's Dave, correct?
It is. You got me now?
Yes. Please share with us, Dave.
Thanks very much. This is Dave from Mililani, Hawaii. Well, basically, I just need to ask for prayer. It's been a wonderful meeting for me. We lost our stepson yesterday. He collapsed at age 50 a couple of days ago, and they had to take him off life support yesterday. So I'm dealing with a God of my, my not understanding. I just need to get close again today. And I have heard a lot of wonderful things today. And I am a food addict, and I'm a recovering alcoholic also. So I sure would appreciate just some quiet prayers today. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Dave, and I'm really sorry for your loss. Our last share will be Betsy K.
Hi, this is Betsy K., recovered bulimic compulsive overeater from Colorado. I love this part of the big book. I didn't grow up in a religious family, but my grandmother was a devout Catholic, so I would go to church with her. And I liked the ritual, and I liked the serenity. So I would ask to go to church even when I wasn't with my grandmother, because even as a child I was searching for something greater than myself, I believe, that would give me serenity and peace in the chaos of my childhood. I craved routine and to have something that felt like it was grounding me. So I always believed in God, but what took me a long time to understand when I came into the program is that God could be my friend, that God was not judging me the way I was judging myself, that God loved me regardless of what I did or didn't do, and that God was always there for me. I didn't fully understand. I was humanizing God, thinking that God wanted me to be perfect in order to be lovable, because that's what I did to myself. That's the message I gave myself. But God's much bigger than that, and it's just taken me years and years and years of willingness to keep praying, to keep asking for help, to keep believing, to listening to other people and about their relationship with God and spiritual people, you know, listening to their wisdom, to understand that, you know, God is just all love, and that I don't, you know, there's no judgment coming from God for me. It's just love. And I heard somebody the other day on the earlier meeting say that, you know, this isn't the God, it's not God part of the program, that the spirituality, the connection with God is the program. It is the program. Because without my higher power, no sponsor, food plan, or, you know, any amount of meetings will keep me abstinent and out of my disease. The only thing standing between me and my disease, ultimately, is a connection with God and a willingness to surrender, just to surrender to what God's will is for me today. And when I trust that God's will for me is loving and gentle and kind and in my best interest, it's much easier to surrender than all of my other thoughts of it's going to be hard or judgment. That's all my human stuff. But just to surrender into God's will.
Time.
Thank you. I pass.
Thank you. Thank you, Betsy Kay. We will now close the meeting, and thank you everyone who has shared and participated today. Let's close with the reading on page 164 on the Big Book, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And Julie E. B., would you please read for us?
Hi, this is Julie E. B., gratefully recovered, usually in Colorado Springs, today in Tacoma, Washington. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will continually disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you shall surely meet some of us as we trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until